from Washington, D.C. It's the last honest man in Washington. It's the Cooner Show. From the Washington Times. From our nation's capital. Live from the belly of the beast. It's Cooner Time.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. 301-984-9570 is the number. 301-984-9570. My friends, you do not want to touch the dial. We have exclusive, explosive audio, of Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, the Imam behind the Ground Zero Mosque. Believe me, after you hear this audio, you'll come to my conclusion they're not moving that mosque anywhere. And just to further confirm what I initially was thinking the last hour, apparently Imam Rauf's wife, Daisy Khan, has come out and said there's no deal for us to move that mosque in exchange for Terry Jones not holding the Quran burning event this Saturday. She hasn't heard of a deal. Now the Florida imam, who apparently was behind the deal that Terry Jones claims existed or took place, says there is no deal to move the New York City mosque. Let me read to you quickly from the latest AP dispatch. A Florida imam says no deal has been reached to move the site of a mosque near Ground Zero in exchange for a Florida minister to call off plans to burn Qurans. Imam Mohammed Musri tells the Associated Press that what he offered was a meeting among the Reverend Terry Jones, the New York imam planning the Islamic Center, and himself to talk about the mosque location. That's pretty much what I had guessed and surmised the last hour. The story goes on to say, Musri is the president of the Islamic Society of Central Florida. He says he told Reverend Terry Jones that he does not believe the mosque should be built near the World Trade Center site and would do everything in his power to make sure it is moved. Jones says he believes a deal was reached to move the mosque and would fly to New York Saturday to discuss it. So, in other words, my friends, here's what happened. In a nutshell, here's what happened. Terry Jones buckled and cracked under the immense pressure of the last couple of days. The FBI, the Dear Leader, Senator Hillary Clinton, General Petraeus, the mainstream media, the threats of protests all over the world, troops were going to be killed, nuns were going to be killed, priests were going to be killed, tourists were going to be killed, everybody and their grandmother was going to be killed if those Qurans were burned. So he cracked. And to get a face-saving way out, Terry Jones says, hey, I got a deal. I'm not going to burn the Quran in exchange for the Ground Zero Mosque being moved. I have a deal. When in fact there's a Florida imam who says, hey, look, you want to talk about it? We can talk about it. Okay? I tell you what, Terry, I call up my guy in New York, Imam Rauf. I set up a meeting. We have a meeting and we talk. Because personally, I don't like the idea of a mosque near Ground Zero too. So I talk to my imam and maybe we can work something out. And then Terry runs out and says, hey, I got a deal. My friends, there is no deal. That Ground Zero mosque is not going to move until we force them to move it. And here is what's going to happen with the Ground Zero mosque. They are going to insist on building it. They are going to insist on going through with it. I'm going to play you the audio clips coming up. Imam Rauf has stated categorically, it is impossible for him, for his sponsors, and he says for most in the Muslim world to not have that Ground Zero mosque be built. It cannot be moved. It is for them now a question of religious right, of religious pride, and of religious honor. And so he's saying it's not going to be moved. And the only way it's going to be moved is my argument to the supporters of the Ground Zero mosque is a simple one. They have a right to build that mosque on private property, but they don't own the sidewalk and they don't own the streets. And the very same constitution that gives them the right to build their mosque gives us the right to protest the building of that mosque. gives the hard hats, the construction workers, the right not to work on that mosque, and the right of contractors not to build the mosque. And so eventually we're going to make it so difficult for that mosque to be built, it's going to go away. This is the only way I believe that this mosque can now be stopped. Because now the Saudi lobby, the Arab lobby, and the liberal establishment are fully behind building the Ground Zero mosque. So is the mayor of New York, and so is the dear leader. Obama has now staked his personal credibility on appeasing the Muslim world. And my friends, if you want to know the kicker behind everything that happened today, as he was publicly calling on Reverend Terry Jones to cancel the event, as he was denouncing it as an assault on freedom of religion, on tolerance, on everything that we in America hold dear, that this was going to threaten our troops, according to the dear leader, he also issued a message to the Muslim world. He sent them greetings on the end of Ramadan. El Al-Fayud. This is the day that Muslims, this Saturday, also ironically, on that falls on the anniversary of 9/11, when the Quran event was supposed to take place, the Quran barbecue. On that day, Muslims officially commemorate the end of 1 month of fasting and the end of Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum.
And of course, the dear leader, as he is urging Terry Jones, basically strong-arming him, twisting his arm, forcing him to cancel the event, is also now sending a huge greeting and a message to the Muslim world saying, we welcome you, we honor the end of Ramadan, and we support you.
Assalamu alaikum.
My friends, that's all you need to know. With one hand, he compliments the Muslim world, and with the other hand, he makes sure that a Quran is not built, and that a Quran is not burned, and that a Ground Zero mosque is built. My friends, that's all you need to know about this president. As far as I'm concerned, that's it. Let's go to David on line 4. David, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Hi, Jeff. I don't know about you, but when all this is over, I'm going to send a pastor a thank you note, and he ought to be appreciated for what he did, a very Abrahamic kind of thing, if you know what I'm saying.
David, I mean, he put his life on the line. He's now endured death threats. They have destroyed this man's reputation. That's the other thing. You notice nobody dealt with the arguments. He kept arguing the whole time. There are violent passages in the Quran. He also argued, was not September 11 caused by radical Islamists? Now, if they have the right to attack us, if they have a right to offend us, why don't we have the right to offend them? Why should they dictate to us what we can or can't do on our own soil? Nobody answered his central argument. What did they say? It's a stunt. It's a PR move on his part. He's a mentally sick man. He's a mentally ill man. They went to his daughter, who said he's crazy. They did everything to discredit him and argue against his motives. They couldn't address his arguments. What they did was, this was a Soviet-style propaganda hit piece. That's what this was. This man had to be marginalized and ostracized. Notice how they treat the Imam Rauf with kid gloves. Oh, he's not on that case. He's not a fringe guy. No. Fox News goes on, fringe church, fringe pastor. But when it comes to the Ground Zero mosque, it's not a fringe imam. Oh, he may defend Hamas. He may defend terrorists. He may defend the Islamic revolution in Iran. He may defend those mullahs. He may call for Arabs to wipe Israel off the map. All of this I've documented. It's going to be in my tomorrow's column. This is the kind of man Imam Rauf is. But he's not a fringe guy. Oh, no. Peace. He's a moderate guy. He wants to build an interfaith community. What's the problem with everybody? What do you mean you have to hold his statements accountable? What do you mean you have to look into his background? So what, he's getting money from the Saudis? So what, he's getting money from the Iranians? So what, he's getting money from these Nazi Persian dictators? You can't do that, Jeff. You can't question him. Oh, the pastor, we can look into his source of income. We can find out who's funding him. We can discredit him. We can go through his tax records. We can sick the FBI on him. That's no problem. But this imam, no. My friends, if it is wrong to burn Old Glory, the flag that symbolizes our Constitution, that symbolizes all the sacrifices that we have made as a country. If that is permissible, if it is not wrong to burn Old Glory, then tell me, why is it not wrong to build a Quran? To burn the Quran? This is the question I've been asking over and over and over again. Our flag, the stars and stripes, that can be burned. That there's a First Amendment protection. But when it comes to burning the Quran, oh no, that's too provocative, that's blasphemous, you can't do that. Tell me, what about all the troops that died for this country in defense of Old Glory? What about their memory? Oh, you can't mention that. No, the Constitution, that enshrines that right, according to the liberals. The Supreme Court has ruled. Okay, so the Quran does not trump Old Glory. That's my argument. What's good enough for the flag? What's good enough for the stars and stripes is good enough for the Quran. That's it. That's all I'm saying. One standard. Hey, burning has now become as American as mom and apple pie. You burn the Bible, burn the Quran, burn the Constitution, burn the flag. Hey, live and let live, baby. It's the liberals that introduced this world. All I'm saying is let's all get along now. We don't live under Sharia law yet. We don't. So Muslims are not a privileged status group in America. They're not first-class citizens. They're not. So they have to play by the same rules like all of us. If Old Glory can be burned, then the Quran can be burned. That's my position. Let's go to Georgina in Arlington on line one. Georgina, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Hi, Mr. Cooner. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a few points.
Sure.
The violence will never subside. And to understand this, and to understand the double standard, you have to look at the differences between Islam and Christianity and their tolerance levels. There is a distinct and visual difference between Islam and Christianity, which Muslims just cannot stomach. Islam maintains that God is a supernatural force, who no one has ever seen. He has no face and no physical characteristics. Their mosques contain no statues. They pray to a name. You notice you will never find a picture of Muhammad in the mosque. On the other hand, Christianity has an image. It is the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our churches are filled with images of him. In the eyes of Islam, they consider that as idol worship. They feel that we pray to a human instead of a higher power. They do not dispute his existence and will never condemn him, but they will argue endlessly that if you have never seen Christ, how can you describe him? The other point they find hard to digest is the fact that we consider Jesus the Son of God. Islam, however, wants to demote Jesus' status to that of a prophet. Islam and Christianity, with all their similarities, will always disagree on this issue. The crucifix to them is an object. Mother Mary is referred to as Miriam in the Quran, and she's described as a servant who used to clean the mosque. Hence, they tolerate the desecration of Christianity. What is amazing is that the very same crime that Islam accuses Christianity of, they turn around and commit the same crime.
Excellent.
They pray to a set of alphabets that symbolizes God, Allah. We pray to Christ, who we believe is God. At the end of the day, they are both images, and they are both sacred, and they are sacred to both of us.
Thank you, Georgina. Well said. Look, I think there's no getting around this. Look, my position on this is very clear. I believe all religious texts are sacred to those religious groups, and they should all be respected. But respect is a two-way street. Christians have bent over backwards to show respect for Islam. It is now time for Islam to show respect for Christianity and Judaism. And they can start by going around the world and telling those radical clerics and madrasas to stop referring to Jews and Christians as monkeys and pigs. Okay? They can at least start by referring to us as human beings. That, to me, is a start. And until we start to have a candid conversation about the reality of Islam in many parts of the world and the reality of Islam here in America, my friends, there will be no peace. Peace can only be based on honesty and truth. And that is the one thing our liberal regime is insisting we do not have. Honesty and truth. Political correctness is the propaganda of our time. It is the lies of our time. And it's time that we fought. We bring down these false gods. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss the explosive clips we have of Imam Faisal Raoul. Excuse me, Imam Faisal Abdul Raoul, right here on The Cooner Show.
Call Cooner now, 301-984-9570.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long.
Welcome back to The Cooner Show on 570 WTNT. The last honest man in Washington, 301-984-9570. 301-984-9570. My friends, Donald Trump has now come out and offered to buy out a major investor of the Ground Zero Mosque. This whole thing can go away, Donald is saying. The Trump man is saying, I'm willing to buy out one of the major investors. And you know what? We'll build a condo there instead. Let's do that. Let's build a workout club. We can move the mosque somewhere else. And I'm telling you, the answer is going to be no. This Ground Zero Mosque is not going to be moved, and I'll tell you why. Listen to these audio clips. We're going to play a series of them. Imam Faisal Raouf, the imam, the force behind this Cordoba House Islamic Cultural Center and Mosque, gave an interview on CNN in which he laid out his reasons why he will never back down from building this mosque. The first question that is asked of him in this interview with CNN is, how do you feel about this whole controversy, and do you think you can possibly be amenable to moving the mosque? Listen to his answer. Ray, play clip one, baby.
Well, first, I must remind everybody that I have been imam of a mosque just 10 blocks from that spot, 12 blocks from Ground Zero.
Yeah.
I've been serving that community and that neighborhood for the last quarter of a century. When 9/11 happened, we couldn't reach our mosque in the Tribeca area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and finally we came back, there was flowers, letters. We're part of this community.
Mm-hmm.
I've served this community.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a community that I have worked for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for us as Muslims,
mm-hmm.
as Muslims who are in Lower Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
To want to give back mm-hmm. to the city and
oh.
the country that's given us so much.
Oh, see, it's to give back. That's why they have all the families of the 9/11 victims so upset. That's why they have 70% of New Yorkers so upset. That's why they have so many Americans upset. Because they want to give back. Now, there aren't many Muslims in Lower Manhattan. That's a lie. There's also a mosque 4 blocks away from Ground Zero. They don't need another mosque. There's already a mosque. So he's lying through his teeth. There is no big community. They already have a mosque. And hey, it's to give back. Even though it's offending everybody, it's to give back. And now he continues to explain why he will not back down. Ray, roll clip two, baby.
And to establish a center that would be the space for a vision that mm-hmm. I've had for over a decade or 15, almost 20 years.
20 years.
Which is to establish a space which embodies the fundamental
mm-hmm.
beliefs that we have as mm-hmm. Jews, Christians, and Muslims,
mm-hmm.
which is to love mm-hmm. our God and to love our neighbor. To build a space where we have a culture of worship and at the same time get to know each other and to forge personal bonds, because that's how society, how community is built, and how we can create something that will snowball to push back against the radical discourse that has just hijacked the discourse in our country and in much of the world.
Now look how slick he is. He's like a water greasy rat. I kid you not, he's like a greasy water rat. Look at him, playing so slick. But remember, what has been his argument? This was to bring the communities together after the attacks of 9/11. That's what he's been saying for 2 years. It's after the attacks of 9/11, we have to bring all these communities together. Now he admits, no, this has been planned 15, 20 years ago. This has been a long time, it's a personal vision. And then he flips it. Why does the mosque now have to be built? Because according to Faisal Raouf, according to the imam, the esteemed, tolerant imam, because the radicals in this country have hijacked the debate. The radicals meaning those that oppose this mosque. My friends, we will have this and so much more on the Kooner Show. We got many more clips. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
Now, we're back to the Jeff Kooner Show.
Welcome back to the Kooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington, 301-984-9570. My friends, I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you so. We just got confirmation now. Apparently, Imam Faisal Abdul Raouf has come out with an official statement saying that he never spoke with Reverend Terry Jones. There is no deal to move the Ground Zero Mosque in exchange for the Quran burning event to be canceled. And in fact, he said this, quote, "We are not a religion to toy with. We are not here to barter." So the Imam is taking a very hard line. There is no way he's going to move that mosque, as I predicted the last hour. And my friends, all you have to do is listen to the clips that we've played and we're going to continue to play in an interview he gave to CNN. He is telling CNN, he is telling the American people, and he is telling the world, there is no way that mosque is going to budge even one inch. Here is this little greasy water rat in his own words. Ray, roll clip three, baby.
I understand the sensitivity mm-hmm. of the people. Mm-hmm. I really do. Yeah. I'm very, very concerned about it.
Yeah.
We've reached out and still reaching out to 9/11 families.
Did you reach out to them before?
Yes.
To all the families?
Not to all the families, but to as many as we could reach, especially mm-hmm. those who are very concerned mm-hmm. About this issue.
Mm-hmm. Before you started the proposal?
No, not before we started, but once this this thing happened. Mm-hmm. I need to remind the audience that mm-hmm. this story first broke last mm-hmm. December in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. It's a front page article in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And no one objected.
Nobody. Nobody objected, according to this imam. You see, this is lie number one. This is what? Lie number one? This is lie number six. Every time this guy opens his mouth, he's lying. I objected when that piece came out. Many in conservative talk radio objected. So this idea that somehow nobody objected, that's a lie. The moment the news was announced, the families of the 9/11 victims objected. That's why he said, he even admits it. Did you consult with them before this project was announced? No, I didn't. He should have, obviously. No. Only after. Well, why? Why bother consulting with them if there was no complaints? If there's no problem, what the hell are you doing consulting with people? So there was. The moment that story broke in the New York Times, and many New Yorkers said, what? They're going to build a massive mosque and cultural community center, a Muslim community center, right near Ground Zero, 600 feet away, a stone's throw away? Are these people insane? And that's when it began to spiral. That's when it began to snowball. But no, according to Imam Raouf, look how slick this guy is. You see, this is the thing about many Islamists, many Muslim radicals, that many in the West don't understand. They know how to spin the media, and they know how to talk in our multicultural, politically correct language. They know how to use our freedoms against us. So who's the enemy, according to Imam Raouf? He knows how to play the liberal media. It's the conservatives. It's the right-wingers. It's the Tea Partiers. Come on. The radicals, as he refers to them. The ones that are radicalizing this debate. It's not me. It's not my Saudi sponsors. No. It's not militant Islam. No. It's the crazy conservatives. They've hijacked the debate. You see? So now he explains. No, there was no problem. Until in May, wink, wink, when Fox and conservative talk radio and the Republicans decided to play on this issue for political reasons. Ray, roll the clip, baby.
So you think it's been politicized?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is very dangerous and mm-hmm. tragic mm-hmm. for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Reason number one is that it goes against the fundamental American principle of separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
This concept of separation of mm-hmm. religion and politics or church and state
mm-hmm.
has a wisdom behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose behind it is not to politicize religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you politicize religion, mm-hmm. it is dangerous.
Ooh. Now, this is the key. This is the key. Look at what he says. If you politicize religion, it's dangerous. Now, this is a form of extortion. This is a form of blackmail. He's telling us, don't play with fire. You politicize the building of this mosque. You prevent us from building of this mosque. It's dangerous. Wink, wink. Just like the Quran burning event was dangerous. This is going to inflame Muslims all over the world. You're going to see jihad. You're going to see terrorist attacks. Wink, wink. Don't politicize. It's dangerous. Now, I thought we had separation of church and state, Imam Raouf. Now, explain to me, if we do, why is the State Department, on our taxpayer dollars, paying for your little trip around the Middle East? Why are we paying? Furthermore, since you're such a big fan of separation of church and state, Mr. Imam Raouf, Mr. Friendly Imam, tell me, name me one Muslim country, one Muslim majority country in which you have a genuine separation of mosque and state. You don't. That's what you don't want to tell the American people, you liar, you. That's what you don't want to tell them. Because Sharia law demands that there be no separation between mosque and state. And that's what you preach from the pulpit. That's what you preach to your supporters. And that's what you've said on the record. You little greasy water rat. That's what you said on the record you want to implement in America. You want to bring Sharia law here. But look how he plays the liberal. Look how he plays the dumb leftists in the media. So he knows all the buzzwords. Separation of church and state, interfaith, harmony, sensitivity. And my friends, here it is. Ray, roll clip 6, baby.
Well, here's the...
It's sensitivity-wise, it's the wrong thing to do.
I am extremely concerned about sensitivity.
Oh, very sensitive.
But I also have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
If we move from that location...
Uh-huh.
The story will be
mm-hmm.
that the radicals
mm-hmm.
have taken over the discourse.
Mm.
The headlines in the Muslim world
mm.
will be that Islam is under attack.
Mm.
And I'm less concerned about the radicals in America than I'm concerned about the radicals in the Muslim world.
Oh!
But isn't that also saying you're less concerned about the voices of opposition?
No. I'm sorry, I don't mean it that way. I meant it that the danger from the radicals of the Muslim world
mm-hmm.
to our national security.
Oh!
To the national security of our troops.
Oh!
I have a niece who works in the army and served in Iraq.
Oh!
The concern for American citizens who live and work and travel overseas will increasingly be compromised if the radicals are strengthened. And if we do move, it will strengthen the argument of the radicals to recruit, their ability to recruit, and their increasing aggression and violence against our country.
They're ground zero.
Oh, you see, bombs are going to go off. Our troops are going to get killed. There's going to be terrorist attacks. My friends, that's the argument they made on why the Quran burning day had to be canceled. Now they're making the same argument on ground zero. Imam Faisal Raouf is now telling us, you move that mosque, bombs are going to start blowing up across America and across the Muslim world. He is openly threatening us. He is trying to extort us and blackmail us. Where is the liberal media? Where is our liberal political class? Hell, where is the press? This man is a vicious thug. And I warned you about him months ago. And my question to you is a simple one. Is Imam Faisal Raouf threatening the United States? Is this now an act of hatred on his part? Is he now blackmailing us into forcing us to accept the Ground Zero Mosque? Or else, as he puts it, our troops will be in danger. 301-984-9570 is the number. 301-984-9570. What do you make of Imam Raouf's interview? I want to hear from you on the Cooner Show.
I got this. Call Cooner now. 301-984-9570.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. My friends, you know who this Ground Zero Imam reminds me of? One of these slick merchants that sell you these, you know, these Turkish bazaars. No, I kid you not. You go to these Turkish bazaars, and you walk, I give you two rugs, $500. Oh, sorry, it's too much. These rugs are too expensive. Okay, I'll tell you what I do. I give you a big deal. Okay, very good deal. I give you the two rugs for $300, and I throw in a third rug for free. For free. For free. I give you the third one for free. So you're saying, well, he was ripping me off at $500 for two. Now he's throwing in a third one for $300. He's a shyster. That's what this imam reminds me of. He's one of these slick, greasy water rats. I'm telling you. He's slick, and he knows how to play the American media. But if you read between the lines, my friends, he's a little bit too slick. And now he's giving the game away. What he is telling us is this. Bombs are going to go off. Troops are going to get killed. Attacks are going to start taking place. It's not me. It's the radicals in the Muslim world. I don't have to just worry now about the sensitivities of Americans. I got to worry about the sensitivities back in the old country. That's what really bothers me.
Doesn't it sound like a bully in the schoolyard, and then the teacher is at recess and she's just looking the other way? So the bully just does whatever he wants.
Oh, that's what he's doing. They're beating up on us. So, my friends, it's all there. That's why he will not move that mosque unless we force him to. Let's go to Atesh in Washington, D.C. on line 4. Atesh, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
No problem. Thank you for the show.
No, my pleasure, Atesh.
Yes, sir.
What's on your mind, my friend?
I think this is just double standard because he is saying you cannot rip Quran or burn Quran. At the same time, we cannot go ahead and we have separation of state and religion, state and church. On the other hand, we cannot have the freedom of speech. It's double standard. Why American flag has been burned? Why Babel has been burned in Arab countries, in non-Arab countries, Muslim countries? Why somebody cannot express their feeling, especially having a mosque close to Ground Zero is hurting every single American citizen. If somebody believes in America, who lives in America, should have the same feeling as you are and as I am.
Atesh,
so I think anything against the United States, if it's a war, if it's a bomb, it's already been done. They already bombed us. They already threatened us. They already killed American troops and American citizens overseas. And within the country, so I think there is no need to be aware of what he is saying. They already have done this. I'm sorry I didn't stop when you asked.
No, Atesh, listen, you hit the nail right on the head, and I want to thank you for that call. Call us again, Atesh. It was a great call, buddy.
Definitely.
No, I mean, look, the radical Islamists have already spoken. They're already murdering us. They don't need any more incentives to murder us. That's why I keep finding it hilarious. Well, you burn that Quran, oh, there's going to be more attacks. What, already? They're dropping like flies in Afghanistan. Our troops are already being besieged in Afghanistan. More have died yesterday, 2 days ago in Baghdad in a firefight. My friends, terrorist attacks are taking place all over the world. You think burning a couple of Qurans can make things any worse? What's next? What happens when they tell us we don't like the way our women are clothed? We want them clothed from top to bottom. We want everything segregated. We want women stoned for adultery. How far are we willing to go? How many of our freedoms are we willing to give up to appease those barbarians? Let's go to Dan in Alexandria on line 2. Dan, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure, buddy.
Quick, two quick points.
Sure.
The first goes back to the whole, if you burn a Quran, you're going to endanger our troops overseas. What an insult. The point there is that our forces overseas are just sitting around getting a suntan, not on high alert to begin with. They are there. How higher of alert can they be? Are they there to build Disneyland? I don't know. Someone explain that one to me. And then, and I'll let you go. The second point is our Pee Wee Herman in chief. What is he talking about? Finally weighs in about the whole burning the Quran. Okay. Is there any president in U.S. history prior to this guy that even knew how to speak the Holy Quran and the language and everything else? That should send whistles and bells off to everybody else saying, this guy is not like the rest of us.
Assalamu alaikum.
You nailed it, Dan. Excellent. No, the short answer is no. He can recite the Quran. He can recite the call to prayer. In fact, he has recited it for the New York Times in perfect Arabic. That tells you all you need to know. Nothing wrong with Arabic. It's a beautiful language. Don't get me wrong. But he keeps denying he was raised as a Muslim. He keeps denying he has a Muslim heritage. He keeps denying his Muslim background. Well, tell me, when the facts contradict your biography, how come you don't want to admit it? Because he's another fraud and another liar. Let's quickly go to Jay in D.C. on line 3. Jay, I got about a minute. Go, buddy.
Okay, since the Abdul or Taqiyil Abdul is not going to keep his bargain, it's time to burn the Qurans. I'm going to have a big barbecue and burn the Quran day for Saturday. And if Islamo Joe in the White House wants to come over, he can. And I'm just sick of everything. We have to have freedom in this country. And, you know, I'm going to pray for the destruction of Islam because I'm sick of them. I'm going to pray for plagues on them, destruction.
Jay, thanks. I mean, you're upset, buddy. I understand it. But, you know, really, let's all temperature things down a little bit. Look, many Muslims are very moderate. They're very peaceful. In fact, I was just mentioning this to Ray. Most moderate imams in the Middle East want the Ground Zero mosque moved. They can't stand this guy, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. So what I'm just telling everybody is, believe me, this guy does not speak for Islam. He does not speak for most Muslims. If we speak truth to power, believe me, my friends, we will win. Do not allow them to intimidate us. That's what they did to this pastor in Florida. Don't let them do it to you. Don't let them do it to us. It is our country. It is our future. It is our children. May God bless you. May God bless America. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Kooner Show. From Ray and I, we're signing off, and you've been listening to the last honest man in Washington.
The Kooner Show.
Kooner Show.